Welcome to Second Wind Women. I'm here today with Rachel Batchelor from Doctor's Remedy. Rachel didn't start out in product or in wellness, which is where she now is. She spent over a decade as a writer and producer in television, creating content for networks like MSNBC, ABC, Lifetime, and BBC America. A pivot began in 2007 when she partnered with two podiatrists, one of whom was her husband, Adam, to help launch Doctor's Remedy. And her involvement turned into a full-on commitment to building a company that was health-focused and impact-driven. She eventually stepped away from media to lead the company full-time, bringing her storytelling instincts, strategy brain, and a globally shaped perspective from her time in Spain and South America. And she brought those into her entrepreneurship. Today, she runs the business while raising three sons and by staying grounded, often outdoors with her family, by the belief that a strong foundation is how you rise. So welcome, Rachel.
Thank you so much. That was a beautiful introduction.
Thanks. I'm glad to have you.
Thank you.
So you started off as a journalist, really, or a producer?
I studied journalism in college. I went to the University of Pittsburgh and thought I was going to be an on-air personality of some sort, a reporter. And I just never really felt very comfortable in front of the camera. So I did an internship in the production department and it resonated with me. And that's where my life took me. I ended up coming to Manhattan and working for various networks, bounced around always by word of mouth and by my reputation.
So what era was this? Not to date you or anything, but.
Sure. Well, let's see. This was probably in the early 2000s.
Okay.
Started having my children. I was commuting back and forth. In the beginning, we lived in Hoboken, which was very close to Manhattan. So that was a very easy way to maintain sort of a rigorous freelance lifestyle the way I had. But then once we moved out to the suburbs, it became a little more challenging. And then, of course, Doctor's Remedy started to take flight and it needed more attention. And that's where my life took me.
Awesome. Awesome. So say something a little bit more I have a friend who's a journalist, but I don't really understand how these things work. But you were working freelancer as a production person or production assistant? Or how does that, I would assume that a producer is a pretty important position that they would actually hire employees for that.
I'd like to think that a producer is a very important position. Yes. So my title was writer-producer. And what my role was, most of the places that I worked, was to work on promotions for content. So I would do coming up next on whether it was Good Morning America or MSNBC, or it could have been something like a movie trailer. I oftentimes worked on looking at raw footage of movies that were coming out in the theaters, and I would write copy for trailers that were going to be produced. And then I did a lot of things like that for television, for instance.
I mean, that sounds like marketing more than producing to me.
Yeah, no, it's considered a writer-producer. I guess marketing would be more advertising.
Buying ads and stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
So
it's funny how so much of that stuff overlaps, right? And different industries call it different things.
For sure.
Yeah, cool. And so what prompted your, so did you start out in Hoboken? I don't know. Did you start out there with your career or you moved to Manhattan and Hoboken? That was all one
I did. So started in Pittsburgh out of college, worked at a television station there for about 3 years. And that's where I met my husband. We were set up on a blind date. We moved back to the New York tri-state area together, which was Hoboken. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I started my career. I was working mostly at MSNBC and then a little bit at the ABC network, writing copy and promotion for shows like on shows that were on both of those networks. And it was very easy to have a freelance career living so close to Manhattan. So that's really where it all took flight.
Okay, cool. And then, so what was the point when your husband like came to you and said, I'm going to start this company with my podiatrist friend?
So I think he always wanted to be an entrepreneur. It was more of his dream rather than mine. Mm-hmm. I was very content in the journey I was on. I guess from the moment I met him, he was trying to pitch me ideas. Maybe around 2005, 2004, which is actually when our first son was born. is when he had mentioned this concept to another podiatrist while they were working together. This is Dr. Spielfogel, who is his business partner in this. And it took about 3 years to bring it all to market. So from 2004 to 2007, he was working on a formula. He was working with chemists and just sort of the concept of the brand. And I don't know if the goal was ever to bring me on with it, but I think as to your point, what I was doing was very sort of, promotion in how to appeal to audiences and how to sell to an audience. That's what I was good at. And so I was just sort of loosely giving my feedback on the brand. And it became very obvious that I was a natural fit to sort of help bring this brand to the next level, to name the colors, to kind of give the brand a little bit more girth.
Yeah, you probably have, if you're talking about nail polish, you probably have a better understanding of the market for that than, I assume the other podiatrist is a dude as well.
He is. Yeah. And sure, it was a perfect relationship that came together because we had the doctors who came from that mindset and then me as a woman with
a marketer,
sort of more of a sort of a feminine viewpoint. There was times where, Adam, my husband and his business partner are very podiatry minded, looking at it from that model. And what we learned early on, too, is some of our earlier clients were doctors in particular, but also their office staff, many of whom are women. And so we had to know, again, what audiences we were speaking to and what parts of the brand resonated best.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you have now, do you have different product lines for doctors versus consumers?
So more or less the same product line, but we do market it slightly differently. We have an Amazon platform as well. That's our website online. We have 55 colors of nail polish that I can tell you right now does not appeal to a doctor's office. They kind of pick and choose from, what works for them. And within the last few years, we've been really rolling out foot care line and honing in on that division of our brand. So we have a foot lotion with CBD, arnica, magnesium in it. That's great for pain.
Yeah.
It's right here. It's one of my favorite products. It's called Limitless Lotion. And this is fairly new. And this is amazing for arthritis and neuropathy. So yes, it appeals, like you said, to the general audience on our website, but for sure sells quite well in a doctor's office.
Yeah. I mean, you're doing a unique kind of crossover there. And Rachel was nice enough to send me some nail polish. And in general, I don't like nail polish because it feels heavy on my nails and it feels like cellophane. Where my nails just feel like they can't. But I have to say, I really like this. And
that's
play guitar and it stays on.
I love to hear that.
For a while. And I really, usually
great.
I just do this hand.
Yeah. I mean, what makes our nail polish special is, yes, it's been stripped of toxins that are in traditional nail polish. And back in 2004, 2005, that was more of an innovative concept to take toxins from nail polish. At the time, we were front runners in the removing toxins game. But as we were formulating and as we were new in this space, we learned that it wasn't so innovative anymore. A lot of nail polishes were doing the same thing. We consider ourselves 24-free, meaning free of the 24 major toxins that used to be or could still be in a lot of nail polishes. But what really sort of sets us apart is that we've added back things to the nail polish that would be beneficial or something that a podiatrist would recommend: biotin, wheat protein, vitamins.
Oh,
is that going to help your nail
building?
Correct.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
So yes, less toxins, but has better for you ingredients. And I also have my nails painted. This is a
nice
new green color that we have.
That's cool. Yeah, I have so many. I have a lot of friends who are like hippie nature granola girls. I guess we're old enough now. We're women, not girls. And most of them do not do, but they all paint their toenails. So, and I know that, people are concerned with you know, I'm concerned with all the chemicals that we're facing on a daily basis. But, you know, you want, particularly your feet, you want them to, like, that's the one thing you could do to make your feet look nice. Like, really, you know.
I think it's very true. A lot of women will paint their toenails. In the summer, it's a little, you can kind of get away with wearing your nail polish a long time. But there are women who enjoy a pedicure all year long, put on shoes, moisture, and it's dark and your toes are trapped in that shoe. So we do have things that can help that environment. We have a cuticle oil, for instance, that has a medicinal, an FDA-approved medicine in it that you can use in conjunction with our nail polishes. And it's just a good sort of preventative. So if you're throwing your foot inside of a shoe, again, that's dark and potentially moist, that you can help prevent a condition from brewing in there.
There's less leather shoes now too. So I think that, you know, when you have shoes that aren't as breathable.
Like a pleather, probably, for instance.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure, for sure. And I was just going to say, we just launched a foot powder that just came out like 2 weeks ago. So we're kind of excited about that product too, which is going to help that same environment.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So when did you start getting enough? I mean, I understand they're starting this business, kind of going back. No, I understand they're starting this business and they're like, hey, what should we do? And you're like, advice. Like, when did it start gathering enough momentum that you were like, maybe I'm going to just stop doing what I'm doing and just do this?
That was hard, actually. It was definitely a difficult decision. And I think that my kids played a huge role in that decision for me. So I think at the time, my oldest was 10. So, and my youngest was, you know, 3. So we, in that way, focusing on one job versus two, because I was trying to freelance for these various companies and also run this company on the side at the time, was a lot with also being a mom.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I knew that I was going to be a better version to them if I gave up something. And it seemed like the best thing to give up at the time. And I don't really regret it. You know, I am very proud of our company. I think that we've grown and it looks a lot different than it used to in a really healthy and empowered sort of way. We're a team of all women now and we all empower one another to grow and succeed. And it's very cool. We're always coming up with innovative new things. And the powder and the lotion both were ideas that Adam brought to me, but then our team runs with it. And
cool.
Finds the market and the copy lines. And it's been a wonderful path.
That's awesome. And even though you do have some, I was reading something the other day about being self-employed / freelancing. And I think it was this guy, the guy who does Diary of a CEO.
Right.
I really love Stephen Bartlett. I think he's amazing. But he did this post and it was him sleeping on an airplane in an airport, you know, like on a bench. And he had this thing, like everybody has this idea that like when you're self-employed, that you have this freedom, but really you have so many more bosses. And particularly if you're working with, you know, in big structures like these media companies, right? You don't have the autonomy, even though you have the autonomy of being a freelancer / self-employed, you don't have much control even to improve things, really.
I think you're absolutely right on both of those points for sure. I was working, there were times where I was writing copy lines for Good Morning America at 5 a.m. Then I would dash uptown to ABC Network and I would be writing for the evening news. And then I would jump over to Lifetime and work on content for them. So you start to become like a little bit of a hamster on a wheel and you're at the whim of when they need you. So a lot of hours for me, it ultimately became a very big commute. So, and yes, there's a lot more autonomy in where I stand now.
And you're building something, right?
Yes, very true. We come up with an idea and it comes to fruition months later. It's very rewarding.
Yeah, that's so cool. So how do you do your like production and distribution? I know I'm getting into like really technical things here, but I'm really curious because I know that there's a lot of like nowadays people are always talking about like, oh, you can drop ship this or that, but you know, like the middleman, that's a whole middleman situation. How do you guys run that part?
Yeah, it's changed over the years. Right now, we have a great distribution center in New Jersey who handles a lot of our, they handle Amazon, they handle our, we still have many, many thousands of doctors across the country who carry us in their offices, all of our online business. They package things as we need them. And interestingly, ironically enough, there's like one woman that really, she's like our superhero over there, who really is very hands-on, not just with conversation and us being able to tell her how we want things packaged or how quickly things need to get out, but she's physically in there rolling up her sleeves doing the job. So we feel very fortunate to have her in our corner.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have sourced things from all over the world, less corners of the world than before due to just the way things have changed.
Yeah.
We're trying to bring as much as we can back here. But we have a business in Europe and Australia, Canada. We actually opened up distribution in Honduras recently. So we're moving and shaking. We're constantly growing and it's a wonderful feeling.
Wow. Wow. So when you started out and you started to do, I'm digging a little bit deep on this because I know that there are many people who want to start their entrepreneur journey with a physical product. And I think that it's really intimidating to think about like the initial investment and the research and all that. Like, how did you and your husband's partner slowly do development over a certain amount of time till they get to a point where they were like, okay, we're going to pull the trigger and we're going to take out a loan and, you know, like do a batch? Or how did they progress that way?
Pretty much the way you just described it, right? I think they each decided on an initial investment amount, which I'm very proud to say that number, they never had to invest another penny. We were able to take that and generate, year it out. Yeah, we've never had to go back and say, you know, we need more. Huh? So we started off pretty conservatively. We had, I think, 5 colors in our initial launch, which is crazy to think now we have 55, plus a whole foot care line and ancillary products and remover and treatments and all sorts of things. But so it was an initial investment and, you know, a leap of faith for sure. I think that you do get to a point where sometimes you just have to take a gamble. We haven't, for instance, here we are almost 20 years later where we have an opportunity in Europe and, you know, maybe the demand's not quite there, but we're going to go ahead and pull the trigger on certain things, taking that leap of faith. So we still do at times have to make those tougher decisions and hope things are going to pan out the way we want them to. There have been times where we've made financial decisions that haven't worked out. We had one product that sort of flopped back in the day, but we recovered from it. And you learn, I find, I always tell my kids this, my famous mother line. I say, it's not win or lose, it's win or learn something. So
yeah.
I really always look at what appears to be a loss as just an opportunity to learn something and not to do that again.
Yeah. I mean, that's the healthy way to view it. And I think that makes you a lot more resilient in your decision-making, right? Because there's much less at stake. If you bring the, to use a nail polish analogy, if you bring the gray shades into it,
right,
then it becomes less intimidating because you're not like, it's either going to go or it's going to flop. You're like, how much is it flopping? How much is it going?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like I said, not every time is it a win, and that is for sure. But we do have downbeats. We do have discouraging days, discouraging months, quarters. We figure it out and we rise above it. So good stuff. And I do feel like with age comes wisdom. Sometimes it's harder for us to age and move into that next phase of life. But I'm finding that somehow I look over my shoulder. I'm like, wow, I had wisdom in that moment. I did learn something from the failures of the past, and I'm able to bring something really valuable to this moment. So it's a really cool feeling.
That is such a better and more positive frame than hindsight is 2020.
Right.
Right. To say, you know, past me actually did some great things, and I learned from the things that past me did that were like,
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
That's really awesome. So what would you say to somebody who was in a position where they wanted to start a product-based company, but they didn't really know what to start.
Well, I think that you have to love what you're selling. I actually had these conversations with my staff all the time. You know, you can't sell something that you don't believe in, that doesn't resonate with you. It'd be really, listen, I think that, like I was talking about the partnership in the beginning, you know, we have our doctors and now we have this all-woman team that runs us. We could easily have a man working for our company now. We have a lot of unisex products, a lot of things that cross both sides. But earlier in the game, you know, we were talking about nail polish and it did feel very feminine at the time. And so it made sense for that voice to have come from a female. But I do think that it's very, very important for people to wear it, be a customer ourselves of the product. So I guess my advice would be, what is it that you're selling? Do you love it? Do you believe in it? Does it work?
Mm-hmm.
What, you know, what does that efficacy look like for you? And it's going to be a lot easier to get your consumer to trust you if you are, if you're believable.
Yeah. If you're settled in that way. And what about like the challenge that you had where you, you know, came out as kind of a market leader with this, you know, slanted natural nail polish, and then you quickly had a lot of people get into that space. What response did you have to that that you felt like was worked?
Yeah, I mean, I think that early on, I kept reeling everybody back. I kept saying, don't forget our niche. Don't forget what makes us special. Stop focusing on the toxins coming out of the nail polish. It's not a new story. That's not, nobody cares anymore. So I think that there was a lot of me just kind of pulling the conversation right back to our, you know, what we did well. And we still corner the market, which is very cool. We're doctor formulated, doctor recommended, and we have ingredients in our nail polish to help them grow, flourish, stronger, healthier. It's the smarter beauty treatment. Our niche is still strong. And I do feel fortunate about that. Had there been other companies that have maybe tried to mimic what we do? Yes, not as well. And I think that we keep focusing, stay in your lane, keep doing what you're doing well,
right?
Keep being honest with the consumers, have the right customer service, have care. I think it's important to care a lot, and be trustworthy. So there are certain things that we continue to do well and consistent. There's other companies that field out sales, for instance, and they have reps and lots of other people having these conversations for them. We've always been very focused on our customer service. If you call our 800 number, you're going to get one of five people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're our team. We're here every day.
I like that. It's like a local feel without being local.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm proud of the fact that we're a small business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Versus trying to be any kind of a corporate, you know, faceless company.
Right.
We're all very, very hands-on.
Yeah. And in your marketing, I mean, I have to say, I do find, as much as I know that there are other people in this space that are like, we use less toxic ingredients for nail polish, I have to say, you're kind of coming at it from both ways, because you're going to get more attention from people with like, ooh, toxins, danger, right? That's going to get more attention. But there are also people who are like, oh, I just want my nails to be stronger and healthier. So you're getting kind of like these two different, groups that work together.
Right.
And,
no, right on.
Getting the benefit of both of those approaches.
We have conversations like this with customers every single day. This is probably the most common conversation. People that just want to wear gel nail polish and they love that. And I say, that's awesome. And wear that. Go on vacation. Enjoy the gel. What's nice is we have a way to recover from that. So come back to us when you're ready, because most likely your nails are going to be brittle and flaking and destroyed. So we have ways to recover your nails from a gel, a manicure or pedicure. I'm oftentimes dumbfounded with those that do the gel pedicures.
Because, yeah, I was going to say, I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, pedicures last forever anyway, but all the more, you know, to really have that gel camped down on your toes for a long period of time, you're sort of asking for trouble. But I'm not here to judge, and we do have products that can help turn things around. So like I said, you'll come to us when you're ready. And it's just, you know, making this smarter, healthier. It's kind of like, I don't know, going to McDonald's. Sure, there's a time and a place for that. But let's just try to 95% of the time have a clean act.
Yeah. I have a friend who's a long distance runner. who is a vegan. And I asked him one time, I'm like, how do you do all that? And, you know, like, what's your diet actually like? And he said, I'm 90% vegan and 10% queso.
I love it. Yeah. I don't think that we need to restrict ourselves 100% all the time.
Yeah, I possibly even unhealthy. So do you have a product like, so I know as I'm getting older, and I suspect a lot of people who are in listening to my podcast, as I'm getting older, my hair is getting thinner and weaker. My nails are getting like bendy and stuff. Do you have something that's focused towards people whose nails are kind of like getting weak?
Absolutely. So one of the things that podiatrists do recommend to their patients all the time is taking a biotin supplement. So we developed our own because we wanted it to be very concentrated and obviously be very takeable every day, like something that you don't mind consuming every single day. So it's made with purple carrot juice. It's a gummy supplement, and it's very tasty and very workable. And it's great for building back nails and hair, skin and nails. That's basically what biotin supplements do. Kind of build back that deficit. But I think also, just believe it or not, having nail polish on your hand, on your nails, is generally better for them. You know, again, changing it out, keeping it fresh. But we have a Restore Ridge Repair, which is good for ridges on your nails, as well as
I have those for sure.
Yeah, and this is great. It could.
I'm always looking it up online. What does it mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like a paint primer, right? Before you put on the paint, just to kind of get into the ridges and smooth out the surface. You can wear it by itself as a treatment, or you can put nail polish on top of it. But sometimes just something very simple, like a clear, to try to keep your nails protected. And it, again, with our biotin element to our polishes, it's helping strengthen them. We also have, you know, cuticle oils, keeping your cuticle at night. You could put, it's called Nourish Nail Serum. It's good for just kind of keeping your cuticle bed supple and not dry, is going to be helpful. So just everyday beauty regimens.
I have never heard this in my entire life, that nail polish could be protective for your nails. I thought it was just a frivolous, beautiful thing.
No, I mean, for sure. I'll throw it out there too for the men in the audience, that we do have, it's called a matte top coat or a matte treatment that you can just put on your nails and it dries completely invisible.
Mm-hmm.
But it has bamboo extract in it. So again, you're kind of doing something strengthening for your nails. There's a lot of men that have ridges and peeling, yeah, especially as we're heading into spring and they want to wear flip-flops or walk on the beach.
Yeah, some of those man feet are super gross.
So
no offense, no offense, but for serious.
Yeah. It's worth
it. Yeah.
Women don't like gross toes.
No, nobody likes gross toes. Nobody likes gross toes. Yeah, I have a, like, I remember I had took a friend of mine for her first pedicure, and she'd never had a pedicure before. And she was squealing because she had never had anybody with one of those like graters on her heel.
Oh, right.
And it tickled so much that she was like, but, you know, if you take care of your feet, it just makes, I don't know. It's kind of like, I heard somebody, they were talking about buying an office chair, and they had gotten some great advice from, I think it was their mother, who said, always put quality between you and the ground.
Oh, I love that.
Which means your shoes, which means your feet, which means, right? Because we have a very, very stable relationship with the ground until you don't. And that's a big problem.
Well, you think about it. I mean, feet are our foundation, right? And I have aging parents now. Both of my parents are in their 80s. And I think that they're both very mobile. And I think that if we don't have the use of our feet every day, getting us up, movement, feeling good about ourselves, you age quicker. So I think taking care of our feet right now, feet are the foundation. Feet, that's where it starts. I do feel very proud to have a product that's going to help us move into the next phase of life. Just even sort of an everyday product, I keep it in my shower. We have something called Foundational Foot Scrub. So we had taken a trip to Israel, and mm-hmm. I was really inspired by, they have a lot of products that use
Dead
salt from the Dead Sea. So we decided to mimic this, and we have a product made with salt from the Dead Sea that we source. And it is fantastic as an everyday, you know, take schluff off just the extra. It's good to ward off a foot fungus, any kind of infection, dryness. Again, for the men out there, get ready for those flip-flops. So it's another really great product just as a daily, everyday, take care of yourself product.
Yeah. Feet are definitely overlooked, I think. Yeah, I have a friend who was a Rolfer, and they have a whole series when they work with your body. They work on different stuff, and they're like, always start with the feet. Like the first session is only feet.
Yeah.
And then it's like feet and legs. And because it's such an important part of how we carry our whole body.
Absolutely.
Everything.
For sure.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Is there anything else that we wanted to discuss?
I'm open for anything. Ask me anything. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'll ask you something. How has it been raising three kids while you're working in this basically startup company? You worked through the startup part of it, right?
I have to say it's that part is cool because I think my kids grew up around the business growing. They grew up together, so to speak. And what's really neat, I have two college age sons right now. And I think that some of what we've done, some of what we do is inspiring to them. But of course, it's meant different things to them along the way. It was always annoying or background noise, perhaps at some phase of their life. But now that they're starting to think about what the world looks like in business and joining the workforce, I think they see what we've built and where we stand in the world with our business with a little bit more admiration. So that's neat. My oldest actually did work for us for a little while. He was an intern, and I think he feels very proud of the things that he did for us, what he got to see, the inner workings of our company. So my other son has always sort of been too far away there's been a disconnect and he hasn't been able to work for us. But I do think that he feels very inspired. He sees our social media and he tries to offer his insights as he's growing in the world. So They've been an inspiration along the way. And I think that it's sort of this duality of they're inspired, we're inspired. So it's been a good thing. All boys, but all the same, they're just inspired by business in general.
That's great. One of the reasons a lot of women go into entrepreneurship, particularly as they're getting a little bit older, is that they realize that the time with their kids is limited. And when they have a lot more control over their time, they're able to participate more in their kids' life. Do you feel like you had that fully, or do you feel like you still had to kind of, choose one or the other at certain points?
No, that's a really great question. I would say that I'd love to ask my kids this question, but I'm pretty sure of the answer. I think they all would say that I was very present. I tried to prioritize the things that they were doing. I've been on every sports field, cheering them on, travel. We have a son that goes to school out in California. We travel to see him compete. My other son is a drive away. It's like 10 hours. We go to see him. But when they were growing up, for sure, I was very present, try to do the building of my business and the parts of my life in the quiet moments in between and not try to take away from being present as a mother. So I'm sure there's been times where they've felt maybe that I've been distracted. Earlier on, I traveled more for Doctor's Remedy. It was, we would do more conferences and things like that. But all the same, they got to come. Sometimes the conferences would be at Disneyland, Disney World. So they got to go to all those fun places.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think there's been a nice balance. I'd like to think so.
Entrepreneurship, like I said earlier, entrepreneurship is not for everyone. It is hard. But to do it as a mom, I think is like the best of both worlds because you do get to make that space for your kids and your family, which is important because you have the autonomy.
I think you're right. I think you're right. I think that, again, as we grow older, we gain perspective as to what's happened along the way. And I know that my kids are still young adults. They still need me. They still need me to be present. So if I feel like along the way I made any mistakes or I was too distracted or I wasn't present enough, it's never too late. Here now.
That's a great, great ending. It's never too late.
Never too late.
Do you have any kind of place where our viewers could find you or your product?
So our website is remedynails.com. That's where you'll find all of our foot care, nail care, Again, for men and women, lots of unisex options. I will just briefly mention, I didn't mention while we were speaking, that we just started to really do a lot of work with athletes now, young athletes, college athletes. Some of this is inspired by my son, who is one. And so this is a great place to direct, you know, it's not just about middle-aged women, so to speak, who care about their fingernails. It's about, like you said, our feet carrying us through life. And let's start when we're younger and we're really pounding our feet and not necessarily paying as much attention to them as we should all along.
Yeah.
So we're trying to kind of catch that generation now of let's take care of our feet and know that they're going to carry us through life. So when you go to our website, you'll check out our athlete page. And we do have a offer code for 50% off your first order. It's podcast fan, all one word, and you'll get 50% off your first order.
That's amazing. Yeah. I had a friend who had a medical issue and had to have his feet removed. I mean, his toes removed from
wow.
his foot. And I'd never really thought about how much your toes affect your balance
right.
before. And wow, that was profoundly scary. Sad.
It is sad, very sad, but hopefully he still had his feet. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
As long as we can be mobile and up and moving, yeah. keep moving forward every day.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks so much for coming, Rachel. It was really fun to talk with you.
Thank you. It was wonderful to talk to you as well.
Okay. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thanks for watching today. I'm glad you watched the whole thing. If you could do us a favor, it would help so much if you hit subscribe. It helps give us just a little boost to keep this podcast going. Thank you.